Praise the Lord. Christmas for Christ is a worthy cause. Amen. You know, it has been, is now, and I believe will forever be, at least I hope forever, that this church will be missions-minded. Amen. That it will be a church that sees beyond the walls of this building. Amen. It's not just at this altar. Amen. It's not just in that baptismal tank. It's not just in the confines of the blessing that God has given us. No, I believe this church will be a blessing far beyond. Amen. Far beyond our local assembly. Amen. And Christmas for Christ is one of the ways that this church does that. Amen. We have at this church been a giver to Christmas for Christ. I believe the most memorable offering that our church has ever given to Christmas for Christ, it wasn't the biggest offering. You know, we have given, thousands of dollars to Christmas for Christ, and I believe that's the will of God. But the most memorable one, let me just relate this one. We were a small church in a storefront in New London, and we had probably 10 Holy Ghost-filled people and 10 or so people that were coming from the homeless shelter. And so we had 20-ish or so people in our congregation, maybe 25 at that time. It was Christmas time. And, you know, next week is Christmas Eve. And on that Sunday, we hadn't did a whole bunch. We had did some promotion, and we had tried to take up some offering. And it wasn't rolling in, if you will. The people in our church were just working people, just like you and I, with not a whole lot of cash hanging around. And in that service, I was moved by God to say, let's give what we can. Give what you can in this service. And whatever comes in, this offering plate today, we're going to give everything to Christmas for Christ. And we put the general offering that came in, went to Christmas for Christ that day. It said tithes on it. Well, we gave that to Christmas for Christ that day. Those that gave to Christmas for Christ, well, it went to Christmas for Christ that day. We gave everything that we had to Christmas for Christ that day. And it was an odd number. It was $1,097. Amen. Now, there are individuals today that can give that amount of money. Amen. There are people in here that are capable of giving more than that themselves. But for us, that was the most memorable offering that our church has ever given to Christmas for Christ. It was because that lady that put in her two mites, it wasn't because she had an abundance, but she gave everything that she had. Amen. You see, God has blessed our church. He brought us from that storefront to this place, and that was a miracle in itself. Amen. He blessed us when we were in financial emergencies. You know, we had this dinosaur of a giant furnace downstairs. And shorter story rather than longer, it took $24,000 to fix that furnace, to have the asbestos removed and the workers come in and, you know, remove and replace the whole furnace. You know, God did that when we were not able to do it. Amen. More money came in from outside of our church than came from inside our church. Amen. Amen. God just helped us in miraculous ways. Amen. And I believe it's also, yes, it's asking. Amen. We need to ask God for our need. But it's also in our giving. Amen. No, I'm not taking up an offering today. But I am asking you to consider, what is the best gift that you could give? Amen. Of course, that's yourself to the Lord Jesus. But is your biggest gift going to be to your children or to your husband or to your wife? I would ask that the best gift that you could give, why don't you give it to Jesus Christ? Why don't you, Christmas time, it's not about the commercialness of our society today. It's not about that. Certainly, there is no such thing as Santa Claus, by the way. But Jesus Christ is the reason for our season. Amen. Praise the Lord. There was one other couple that are in our church that has already told me that they plan to give $1,000 to Christmas for Christ from one family. Normally, I would go to that board and I would take it would go up to $100. Now they got these other bigger ones that are on there now. But it used to be it was $1 to $100. And if we filled every envelope, I think it's $5,050, I think it is. But if we filled every envelope from 1 to 100, it's just over $5,000. Now, there's no reason why our church is well able to do that. Well able. Amen. The goal of our Brother Thomas, our North American Missions Director for Connecticut, if every family in each of our churches would give $150, that we would far exceed the goal of $150,000 for the state of Connecticut giving to Christmas for Christ. Is that right, Brother Dyke? Every person?
Yeah.
Okay, so if every person were to give $150, amen. I'd like to see at least every... Now, I know 3-year-old Rachel doesn't have $150. Her dad's got her covered. See, there's other families that could do that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm all for the vision. I was talking to Brother Thomas last night. Our church in 2024 is going to help one of our new church plants, North American Missions home missionary here in Connecticut, Brother Earl Brown, has an up-and-coming church. They have already started. They are meeting in what is a house, but the living room is their sanctuary. It's not where they live. It's a house that is their church. But you know what? God is able to do great things. Amen. I was very impressed when I went to their church. Where it is located, it's in Hartford, and every street all around is house after house. It's just blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks. All around their church are homes. They live in the middle of a very large neighborhood, and about 3 blocks away, very close, I mean, you could walk to it, is a park. We have a vision to partner with them this summer to have help them to have a tent meeting in that park by their church. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to bring the tent and we'll bring our sound system. We're going to, we're going to supply the need for that event. Brother Thompson heard about that and said he wants to do that for another church plant, but that city hadn't been picked yet. So it looks like in the summer of 24, we're going to have 2 tent meetings that will be using our church tent. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God. I want to be a part of planting new churches and helping new churches grow and to help people find Jesus. Amen. It's an exciting thing to be a part of the work of Christ beyond our 4 walls. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, next week, I'll tell you ahead of time. I believe the kids are going to come in and sing one of their songs with us. We'll probably sing some other songs together. I'm going to read the account of Christmas in the Bible. And we're going to make a commitment. Lord, let my life be for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is my intention that next week I plan to bring my Christmas for Christ offering. And that $100 envelope, that's not enough. You know, there are many years I would give $100 for both me and my wife. But, you know, that's not enough. So I'm going to fill a $1,000 envelope so that I can match this other couple in our church. There are other people in our church that $150 would be a tremendous offering from you. But there are some of you that could match that $1,000. Amen. Whatever it is that you're able to do, do it. Not for me. I don't get any of it. I'm not keeping not one cent of it. Amen. But I want to be a part of Christmas for Christ. Amen. Why don't we just pray for just a moment. Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, we ask even now, Lord, that you, Lord, would do according unto your purpose. In the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you would move on the hearts and the lives of our saints. And Lord, move upon me and upon us, Lord, to do your will. God, to do our part, Lord, in your work, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, if you are not, because I know I'm going to be getting a phone call shortly after Christmas. Well, what is your church going to give? I don't have a clue. I don't have any idea. We're going to give the best gift we can. How about that? They're not going to be happy with that answer. they're going to ask me for a number. I don't know what that number is. Amen. But how about you? This would help me personally. Next week, and I hope you come to church next week. Amen. I hope you come for our service next Sunday. And in that service, either give your Christmas for Christ offering outright. You really have until the end of January to give it. But how about you tell me what you either give the offering or tell me what you're going to give in addition to what you already gave. Some people have already put something in for Christmas for Christ. Well, next week, what I plan to do is take all that has come in so far, plus whatever pledges, if you want to make a pledge, by the end of January, I'll give so-and-so much more than what I've already given. Then give me a number so that I can ask our church secretary to add all that up and tell me what the number is. And that's what I'm going to tell whoever calls me to ask me how much will your church give to Christmas for Christ. Well, then that will be the number. Amen. Amen. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You can use, we have a Tithely. You can give on your phone electronically. Amen. Don't ask me how to do it. But it can be done. Amen. Turn with me, Matthew chapter 2. Stand with me. I'm just going to read two verses of Scripture and I'll let you be seated again. Praise the Lord. I know we've taken a lot of time with preliminaries today, but I don't intend to be long. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says this. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. My topic today is very simple. It's almost a continuation of my Wednesday message. Is wise men still seek him? Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, help us, Lord, to be wise. And Lord, help us to seek you. Lord, in every facet of our lives, Lord, it is you that is worthy to be praised, that is worthy to have all of the honor. It is you, Lord, that we uplift, God, that we worship Jesus. I pray even now, Lord, that in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that you would give me anointing to speak, Lord, by under the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, to say, Lord, of your word and of, Lord, and of you, Lord, that wise men still seek you. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing, your power, Lord, your blessing in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. The Christmas story, which I'll be reading next week, it's an amazing story. It really, really is. Think of Mary being espoused or engaged to Joseph. Now, that's not unusual. People get engaged. People get married. But you see, this was a special occasion because Mary had received word from God that she was going to have a son, and she was not yet married and had not yet known a man. So she was perplexed, but yet had faith that God was in her. Amen. And Joseph, put yourself in their day, in that society, and the situation that Joseph was in. He knew that he had never been with her. He knew that her being pregnant was a problem. You see, she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. God actually robed himself in flesh. Amen. By a miraculous divine intervention, a divine seed was planted inside of this chosen woman, Mary, that God would be born on earth. Amen. The Christmas story is just beyond human. You got to really have faith to believe this story. You got to have faith in God to have an understanding of this. God overshadowed Mary. It was the Holy Ghost that conceived within her. A virgin was now with child. Joseph determined that, you know, we got to do something about this. You know, even if we get married right now, it's too late. You know, the timing is off. He was thinking of a way that he could help her. He loved her and still wanted to marry her. And he devised in his mind, we got to put her away. We got to move out of the place where our family and friends are. And we got to find a place that, you know, just she can hang out while she has this baby. An angel. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, an angel had this. But while he thought on these things, you know what? God even knows the stuff that's turning around on the inside of our head. Amen. God even knows what you're thinking. While he thought on these things, what am I going to do about Mary? Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. You know what? He was God. This angel was giving him an assurance that it's going to be okay. Amen. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, For he shall save his people from their sins. You see, Jesus is the reason for the season. He really is above all other things. Amen. The angel heralded his birth. It was pronounced and proclaimed before the shepherds in the field. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace, goodwill toward men. It was being noised abroad. The angels were proclaiming that Jesus. Someone say Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. You see, these were lowly, if you will, shepherds that were in their fields watching their flocks by night. Amen. You know, they weren't high society. They weren't the royalty. They weren't the rich folks. They weren't the high in society, if you will. But those are the people that God chose to tell this special message unto. Amen. But it wasn't just the wise, it wasn't just the shepherds, there were wise men. I'll tell you, Jesus needs to be known by everybody. Amen. Wise men came from afar bearing gifts. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. They brought what was precious to man to give to that holy child. Amen. The shepherds worshipped him. The wise men worshipped him. The wise men even sought him from a far distance, seeing the star that they followed. And they rejoiced with great joy when they knew that they were on the way. They were on the right track. Amen. They were following to find Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the reason for our season really should be Jesus. Amen. It was just last year, I had this idea. They were talking about making a Jesus sign, and they put one over here outside of our church. It's probably haven't even noticed it. Maybe you did. But while they were talking about that sign, I said, well, I want to make one. I want to make a Jesus sign for my house. Went to Home Depot and bought the 6-inch drain pipe they use for, you know, when the gutters come down, they put it out into your yard and the water soaks into your grass. I bought some of that. I took some wire and wired it into letters, and I put lights, just wrapped around lights, little LED white lights. Of course, my letters are 5 feet tall. I placed them about 6 feet apart, so my Jesus sign is like 30 feet across. And I got it about 8 feet up in the air, might be 8 or 10 feet up in the air. So across, if you drive by on 117 by my house, you're just look for the Jesus sign. You'll see it. It's the only one in the neighborhood. Yeah. no green lights. Just white lights. Amen. But I had fun making it. You know, and I've had people come out and stop and go out by my sign and take a picture by my Jesus lights. I've had people come knock on my door. Would you turn your lights on? We'd like to get a picture. Had one guy come back just to few weeks ago, and he said, well, where did you buy that? He went, you know, Home Depot. And I told him, you know, I made it. It's homemade. But, you know, Jesus is the reason for this season. If Jesus isn't the reason, then don't celebrate. Amen. I can celebrate Jesus. Amen. In fact, I should celebrate Jesus every day. Every day, he's worthy. He's wonderful. He's a good God all of the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalms 53, verse number 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Well, my friend, there is a God. There is only one God, and His name is Jesus. Amen. He is the living God. He is the Most High. He is the Almighty, the Creator, the Master. Amen. He's the Holy One. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7 says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. I like that part where it said, let him return unto the Lord. You know what? I believe backsliders are coming back. Amen. It says, right, I can believe the Bible, right? I can believe what the Bible says, right? That's okay, isn't it? Amen. Let him return unto the Lord. There's a whole bunch of people, you know them too, that have had an experience with God. They have had an anointing of the Holy Ghost. They have felt His presence. They have repented of their sins, just like Acts 2:38 said. They have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's the only way that people are baptized in the Bible. Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. People that have received that wonderful infilling gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I tell you, it's for everyone. It's for all people. Amen. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. It's Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. You know, I really appreciate how it is explicitly clear in the Bible. When you are pardoned, it is as if that, you know, if it's a crime and the president pardons you, no court can try you against that case again. Amen. It's as if that had never happened. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, our sins, when we obey Acts 2:38, when we ask God, forgive me. I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, please forgive me. When you repent, God is faithful and just to forgive your sin. Amen. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. That means everybody, by the way. Oh, not just those people, not just that person, but this person. Amen. My sins are forgiven when I repent. It says, be baptized for the remission. You know what that means? Well, you probably do. In fact, I'm pretty sure you do, but let me tell you again. That means that Jesus Christ, when He came to earth as a man and gave His life on the cross, that price, you know, the price of sin is death. Maybe you don't know, but the price of sin is death. And if a death doesn't happen for your sin, your sins stay with you. But Jesus Christ gave the precious gift, the greatest gift that has ever been given by anyone at any time in all of that of mankind. The greatest gift is what Jesus gave. He gave Himself. He didn't just send His Son. He robed Himself in flesh. Jesus was God incarnate. When he said to the sick, be healed, or to the lepers, be cleansed, or to the demoniac, be freed. When he spoke to the wind and the waves. When he did miracles and wonders. He spoke as God. Because he was. God paid the price for my sin. Amen. And for the remission. Remission means payment. You know, you may have great credit and qualify for a loan. But you know what? When you sign the papers and you drive away in that new car, you you owe all those payments that are yet to come. But Jesus didn't just say, oh, you owe me. He didn't just say, oh, well, you can pay me later. Easy monthly installments. No, your sins have been paid in full right up front. Amen. That means that those sins cannot be brought up against you at any time ever again. Amen. Man, to me, what man, that's the best gift anybody ever gave me. Amen. That's, Jesus is the best gift I've ever had. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's a pardon. It can never be remembered against me again. Amen. I really like what Brother Dyke had said, that how precious, you know, Jesus was the best gift, that he was the greatest person that ever lived. Amen. And he gave the greatest gift that was ever given. I found this writing called One Solitary Life. It says, here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher or a traveling preacher. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside of a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place that he was born. He never did the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials except himself. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth, his coat. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone. And today, he is a centerpiece of the human race and leader of the column of progress. Amen. 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 I am far within the mark when I say that all of the armies that have ever marched, all of the navies that were ever built, all of the parliaments that have ever sat and all of the kings that have ever reigned, if you put all of mankind's authorities together, they combined have not affected the life of man upon earth as powerfully as this one solitary life. Jesus has done more than them all. He truly is the reason for the season. Amen. It's hard to even comprehend. You know, we're standing on this side of time. We have the Bible to tell us of the events. We have the presence and the power of God in our midst. But could you imagine a world without Christ? I can't imagine. It's beyond my... I wouldn't even want to try to consider what our world would be like without Jesus Christ. You know, just like those of the Old Testament, there's no way we could fulfill the letter of the law. I don't know that I would be capable of doing that. In Luke chapter 2, beginning to read there, verse 11 to verse 14, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Amen.
And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You see, that's why Jesus came. That men might have hope, that men might have His great gift, that we might have life in Him, that we might be saved, that we might have our sins remitted, that we might have the Holy Ghost. What if He had never been born? I don't know how to make my mind. I don't want to try to consider what it would be like without Jesus. Amen. We would not have the life principles that He has taught, that so many good people live by. You know, be kindly affectionate one to another. Do good to them that persecute you. Return good for evil. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. And so much more. Paul accurately describes the condition of mankind without Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. And I used this portion of Scripture last Wednesday. They went out another way. If you weren't here last Wednesday, I hope you'll get the message. Talk to our sound team. I think there's a recording, right? Yeah. You can go out another way. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. In fact, musicians, would you come? Would you stand with me? I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to wrap this up. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 12. Yeah, I'm skipping one little portion I have. When you seek Him, when you seek Jesus Christ, If you're really looking for him, I tell you by the authority of the Word of God, you will find him. You will find him. Amen. Perhaps today, there are people that are here that need to find something in Jesus Christ. Amen. He is here right now. He will change your life. Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Last Wednesday, I thought I was going to teach, but I ended up preaching about how that God can bring you out another way. What you came in with, you came in with a problem. I'll tell you what, God can solve your problem today. God can help you right now. Amen. He is a right now God. Right now. Amen. I believe we are going to have a baptism today. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have this book that we record our baptisms in, and I was looking at it the other day while we were in our prayer meeting, and I wrote down, I was praying for those that have been baptized, and I noticed that if I counted right, there'll be the 14th baptism in over since 2011 when we came into this building. This book has been in the pulpit area since that time till now. And we've tried to record all of the baptisms, or if you get the Holy Ghost, we put that in there. And over those years, 2011 to today, so 12, coming up on 13 years, we've averaged 14 people to be baptized in that body of water, in that box right there. Amen. You know, today will be the 14th one this year. Amen. So God just keeps doing it. God keeps bringing people. God keeps redeeming. God keeps forgiving sins. God keeps paying the price. He keeps the remission going. And whatever it is that you have, that you need help with Jesus Christ. I wish I could put my 30-foot sign across the front of the church right here. The answer to your problem is Jesus. It's Jesus. Amen. It is 2 today. So we'll go a little bit above our average. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the reason for our season. Amen. As the musicians play, would you join me? Would you lift your hands? In fact, come on up to the altar. Let's love God together.